Former vice presidential nominee Sarah Palin is suing the New York Times. The former Alaska governor filed a defamation lawsuit against the newspaper in response to a recent editorial suggesting a link between Palin's political action committee and the 2011 Arizona shooting rampage that killed six people and severely injured then-Congresswoman Gabby Giffords.
You look back over the last 8 years, this policy of zero interest rates and the massive quantitative easing was very successful in arresting the crisis, but really a significant disappointment in terms of prompting a normal cyclical recovery. Instead, the balance sheet liquidity injections caused a lot of froth in financial markets, which could be a potential source of financial instability, setting the stage for another crisis.
Nearly half of Indian businesses are bracing for a major wrench in the works as they stare down the barrel of a tax overhaul coming into effect this weekend. The nationwide goods and services tax is designed to unify and simplify the country's $2 trillion economy. It could mean a painful change for India's vast stable of small businesses.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Thursday. It's June 29th, 2017. Glad you're here at 5:10 in the morning for another edition of The Opening Bell. Another business day as we continue coasting toward the big, long 4th of July weekend. Lots to cover this morning here on the program. There's still no state budget, and we will take you to Springfield a little bit later on to see what's happening there. Could impact us all in a more significant way starting on the weekend when our bond status could be lowered to junk. We'll check in with the state lawmaker on how things are going. We'll bring in our thought leader in just a moment as well. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow futures are pointing toward a week to mix open on Wall Street, up 12 on the Dow, up just a point on the S&P. Tech stocks still in a little bit of pressure this morning. NASDAQ is off about 12. Gold and silver are mixed this morning. Crude oil is trading at $44 a barrel. Asian shares rallied today following Wall Street's rebound yesterday as investors regained a little bit of confidence in the global economic outlook. Japan's benchmark Nikkei was up about 0.5% at the start. On the board now, it's up almost the same, about 89 points, with the Hang Seng up about 0.5%, 281 points. The Shanghai is up about 0.5% as well, up about 14 points. In Europe, the market's generally lower, with the DAX off just about 0.25 at 22 points. The CAC is off about 0.5 at 33, and the FTSE is up about 23 points this morning. Again, back in this country, a week to a modest open on Wall Street. We're still seeing lower NASDAQ numbers. Some other news that we're watching for you today. The Federal Reserve has given the green light to all 34 of the biggest banks in the U.S. to raise their dividends and buyback shares, judging their financial foundations as sturdy to withstand another economic downturn. It was the first time in 7 years of annual stress tests that every bank assessed by the Fed won approval for its capital plans. Pharma bro Martin Scorsese is either a con man who scammed hedge fund investors out of millions or a nerdy genius who made them even richer. The conflicting portraits were offered during opening statements at Scorsese's securities fraud trial in New York. The case has been colored by the ex-pharmaceutical CEO's antics on social media that, despite the urging of his lawyers to lay low, has never subsided. They had a little trouble picking a jury. It took them several days to do that, but that trial is now underway. Hundreds of inventors are auditioning their wares for Walmart as part of an open call by the world's largest retailers. They're hopeful the company will offer them a shelf space at up to 4,700 stores nationwide. Company officials told the 500 presenters yesterday that they can have spots on Walmart's online portals if they want them. Walmart is locked in a battle with Amazon for billions of dollars worth of online revenue. It's Thursday. That means it's Thought Leader Day. Associated Bank Thought Leader Don Lloyd is here. He's the Senior Vice President and Manager of Capital Markets, Foreign Exchange, Rate Swaps, Commodity Derivatives. We'll be talking a little bit about some of the foreign exchange markets news impacting those as we begin our Thought Leader conversation today. Don, good morning. Welcome back to The Opening Bell.
Steve, good morning. Good to be back.
Well, it's good to have you here, and happy pre-Independence Day. I know this is kind of a holiday week for a lot of folks, but here you are. You're working this week.
foreign exchange never sleeps. Right. It's always open. Might not be active and deep, but the markets never close. And yeah, thanks. I hope you have a good 4th of July holiday and time to celebrate. And remember where the paths and the distance this country has come and traveled. And,
yeah, it's really when you think back on it, you're like, wow, we really have become this nation that we have so much rich history, and anybody that can get out and celebrate that should.
Exactly.
Fireworks or whatever.
So for the next 240 years, let's keep the same thing going.
Right.
So,
well, let's talk about a couple of international things that are impacting markets, not only here but around the world. Let's start with Brexit, because, you know, I saw the Treasury chief of Great Britain said that they want to keep its economy anchored in the European mainstream. That sounds a little bit like they want to have their cake and eat it too, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And when you're thinking of the UK and you're thinking about Brexit and them exiting, the last thing they want to do is completely unhitch their wagon, you know, from the main driver. If you take a look at economies, you know, the U.S. is the largest economy in the world at $18 trillion. Next comes China, about $11 trillion, then Japan. And then if you take a look at the Europeans, each individual country, they're sort of farther down the line. They're in the, you know, $2 billion, $3 billion range. So they're relatively small. If you look at the whole block, though, the European block of the European Union, they're the second largest economy that out there at about $16 trillion. So the UK, they certainly want their independence. To me, it's always been a border control immigration issue for them. They want to self-determine when it comes to that, on who gets into the country and who doesn't come into their country. But on the economic front, they still want to sit there and stay hitched to the EC. And you're absolutely right. They want their cake and they want to eat it too, but why not?
Yeah, the reaction from the European Union, at least some of the leaders there, is no. That's not the way it's going to work. You're going to the bottom of the line. What is the impact of, you know, language like that?
Creates uncertainty in the market. The market does not like uncertainty. But surprisingly, the British pound sterling has been sort of not very active in holding in there, especially with the snap election that Theresa May had in early June and the events that came out of that. I would have expected the British pound sterling to be a little bit weaker against its trading counterparties, but it's not. I sort of write that off to the whole summer doldrum type events that are coming up in the market as we hit the June, July, and August summer months and what goes on there. But you're right. I would have expected the pound to be a little bit more active. It does create uncertainty that usually creates outflows of capital looking for that safer haven or that risk return type reward. But that's not occurring right now. And, you know, market sort of is watching it and wondering why. And, you know, maybe it's a delayed reaction. Maybe the market's going to focus on something else.
But, yeah. And the other part of that, too, is the fear of some that the worst is yet to come in terms of what we haven't seen as we get in now the nitty gritty of these negotiations. Right.
Well, the story's not over.
Right.
I mean, the story is just beginning and it will continue to unfold. And there's going to be a lot of twists and turns in the next couple of years as they iron all this out.
Don, hang on with us. We're going to take a break here on the opening bell. Don Lloyd is with us. He's the senior vice president and manager of capital markets, foreign exchange, rate swaps, commodity derivatives, all of the above at Associated Bank. And our thought leader conversation will continue after we check traffic this morning at 5:17. Mary Vandeveld standing by with that. Good morning, Mary.
And good morning. Traffic sponsored by ADT. The Eden, so far so good. The Kennedy, no delays along with the rest of the expressways. We do have an accident, 87th and Cottage Grove. And all lanes still blocked in Rensselaer, Indiana, north on I-65 at State Road 114, all due to a fatal accident from overnight. Protecting what matters most for over 140 years. ADT is more than a sign in your yard. It's 24/7 monitoring for your peace of mind. Visit ADT.com. For traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, to get the Traffic Chicago app approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Mary Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
Every business is different, with a different vision and different assets. Yet most banks offer the same ideas and the same one-size-fits-all solutions. At Associated Bank, we believe banks should offer different solutions for different businesses. It just makes sense. That's why we take a different approach to commercial banking. One that takes the hassle out of banking and works to find customized solutions for you. One that puts relationships and trust first. Sure, that's a little different for a bank. But at Associated Bank, we believe relationships matter and personalized service should be the norm. From capital markets experts who can help set your business on an upward trajectory to treasury management experts with a knack for finding new ways to make your money work for you, we offer a full-service experience with innovative tools for managing your most valuable assets. To learn more about how Associated Bank takes a different approach to commercial banking, visit AssociatedBank.com or tune in every Thursday morning at 5:08 to WGN's Opening Bell for a discussion on current financial trends and topics from Associated Bank. Member FDIC.
Homeowners, if the tire on your car goes flat, you fix it. If your heater breaks down, you fix it. Right now, if your home has low water pressure, or you get scalded in the shower when someone flushes, or you or your neighbors have already had leaks, in other words, your pipes aren't working, you can get them fixed too, in as little as one day. I'm Jeff Butler, owner of Repipe Specialists. For a limited time, on approved credit, when you repipe with us, we'll give you 0% interest for an entire year. That's right, a repipe, wall patching, and a lifetime guarantee, all at 0% interest. Get great pressure, clean, clear water, be able to take a shower, and run the washing machine at the same time. We've helped over 30,000 homeowners just like you get new, high-quality pipes without a fuss. So repipe with us, and you too can enjoy great water pressure in your home with a lifetime guarantee.
Just call 800-216-0195. That's 800-216-0195. 800-216-0195.
Play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com today. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, watching Archer Daniels Midland stock up about 0.3% yesterday, 41.14 a share. Also, Allstate Corporation up about 0.5% at 88.58 a share. It's 5:20.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Asian shares rallied overnight after Wall Street's rebound as investors regained confidence in the global economic outlook. The Dow Jones rose 143 points to finish at 21,454. The S&P 500 gained 21 points. The NASDAQ ended the day up 87 at 6,234. Staples stock closed up yesterday, fueled by news that a private equity firm is buying the office supply chain for nearly $7 billion. Staples currently has about 1,600 stores, down from nearly 2,300 at its peak. The world's biggest packaged food company may be cutting back on packaged food. Nestle has outlined a far-reaching strategic shift, promising new investment in its high-growth business, like bottled water, coffee, infant nutrition, and pet care. And Southwest Airlines will discontinue flights to two Cuban destinations. Service to Varadero and Santa Clara will end on September 4th. The airline will still offer flights to Havana from Fort Lauderdale and Tampa. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's our thought leader conversation. We do it every Thursday. And Don Lloyd's here from Associated Bank talking about foreign exchanges, rate swaps, commodity derivatives, capital markets. And Don, before the break, we were talking a little bit about Brexit. Wanted to switch gears and talk to you a little bit about what is happening in Europe as a whole. The European Central Bank has said it is considering pulling back a little stimulus, but keeping that in place for now. How is that impacting the markets?
Yep. Well, they met in Portugal, and that they just sort of ended those meetings right now. And a lot of what they discussed now is being made public and whatnot. You know, when you take a look at the European Union, they certainly want to reflate their economy. When you take a look at interest rates, for example, their nominal interest rates are still negative. You know, they would like their real interest rates to get positive. You take a look at 2-year bonds, for example. 2-year bonds are negative. You know, they're minus 50 basis points, 0.25% in the negative. They would like to sit there and get that into the positive. They would like a little bit of inflation. They're sort of caught between this. It looks like the economy is doing much better, but the term structure of interest rates isn't moving to reflect that yet. So how far ahead do we want to get without choking off the economy? But we'd like interest rates to go higher, but just not too fast. Now, you lay over that what's going on with their trading counterparties, for example, the United States. And that's what drives currency markets, for the most part, are those interest rate differentials. So when you have the Federal Reserve that just raised rates for the fourth time this year, one more rate hike is expected this year, three next year, you would think that our term structure of interest rates is headed upwards, but it's not. It's actually the yield curve is flattening, okay? Rates are actually lower. U.S. rates are actually lower than they were 3 weeks ago. you take a look at the EC, and they would like their rates to come up. So what happens is that you get this narrowing of this differential between U.S. interest rates and EC interest rates. And when that narrows, it creates flows that come into the euro. And that's what you're seeing. You're seeing the euro up about a penny today from where it was trading last week. And all of that is these interest rate differentials. And that those differentials are going to continue to snake and fluctuate every single day, every single minute. And the market is focused very much on that. Now, expand that out to every country trading partner that's out there, whether it's Swiss against the yen, whether it's Mexico against the U.S., Canada against you name it. Those interest rate differentials are what's driving the market right now. You know, that's what's really what's what the market is focused on. So that's why this the meeting over in Portugal was so interesting, was because of their tone and what they're saying and how they're spinning this. You know, they would like to see growth continue. They'd like to see inflation up around 2%. They would like to see rates moving up. But the economy just doesn't seem to be cooperating all that much to their expectations.
So when you hear phrases like adjusting the level of stimulus will have to be made gradually was the quote, that's probably comforting for markets, right?
It is. Yeah. I mean, to me, it's a plan. I think they're being very transparent about it. They are certainly broadcasting to the market what their intention is and how they view. And to me, those are all good things. Those are all very positive things. At the end of the day, though, it's those differentials, because there's two sides in currency markets. There's two sides of that equation. It's not just what the European Central Bank's doing, but it's also what is happening in the U.S. or in those other countries. And you have to look at both of those, and they're relative. That's the fun part about the market. I mean, there's really three things that drive markets. There's fundamental news that comes out. There's political events that occur. And then there's what I call the psychology of the market, how you interpret those things versus how I interpret those things. And that's where the market really exists, the bid, the offer, the buy or the sell. It's sort of like religion and theology, the Bible, the Quran, the Torah. We know the words, okay? But how you interpret the words and how I interpret the words could be different. And that's what creates the market. And financial markets are very much like that. You know, we see what the fundamental news coming out is. Mm. We see what's happening politically. But how you interpret it, how I interpret it could be different. And the importance you place on it, or the relative importance you place on it, could be different from me. But that's what makes that market. That's what makes that I'm long, you're short type mentality that's out there.
You know, and that interpretation, too, has sort of been highlighted this week by the Pew's releasing results of a global study survey that they've done about the views of the world about us, the United States, negative since we had the change in administration.
Yes.
And then today, the International Monetary Fund says the projections of our growth in the United States compared to the rest of the world. I mean, they say we're not going to make it to that 3%.
Yep.
They're concerned about different policies. How does that impact it when you look at it coming from that opposite way, coming in instead of looking out?
Just another piece of meat or potato in the stew of the financial markets. You know, you throw it in there, you stir it all up, and you sit there and put a relevant factor on it. How much weight does it carry? It's the IMF. Good. Mix that into everything else and see what the overall stew tastes like and look like. I don't think there's, you know, any surprise that the whole idea of 4% or even 3% GDP growth could be a stretch at this point in time. That does not mean 3 years down the road we won't be there, or 5 years down the road that we won't be there. I mean, you know me, I'm as bullish America as anybody has ever been bullish America at this point in time. So I think those days are yet to come. But it's a matter of when we're going to get there, you know, at how fast will we get there. And right now, I believe that our economy is sort of functioning as a dysfunctional family. We have you and me, the consumer, sits out there and we're the kids. And we've got our political leaders, Republicans, the Democrats, and they're sort of mom and dad. And mom and dad are fighting. And that does impact you and me. And it impacts our spending habits, and it impacts our sister or brother, which is business investment out there, because mom and dad are fighting. They don't have the kids' best interest at heart. They have who's going to sit there and control the assets, and who's going to sit there and, you know, be more important than the other person. And to me, we're sort of a dysfunctional family, and we've got to move beyond that back to what's important, which is the kids, taking care of representing the people that elected him. But I'll get off my
soapbox. You don't think I'm overreacting then by playing in my cardboard box and hiding from everybody? So, Don, you have big plans for the 4th of July, cookout, vacation?
A little family cookout, little R&R. I'll put on my red, white, and blue T-shirt, and I'll fly the American flag. And I'm going to sit back and think about how this country ran away from monarchies, and we decided to let the people govern and rule a nation. And, gee, look how far we've come in 240 years. I think it's fabulous.
And let's hope the only fireworks are on the streets and not on the markets.
Exactly.
Good to talk with you, Don. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, Don Lloyd, Senior Vice President, Manager of Capital Markets, Foreign Exchange, Rate Swaps, Commodity Derivatives at Associated Bank. It's our thought leader conversation. And remember, you can hear those every Thursday right here on the Associated Bank Market Desk and the opening bell. You also find all of our conversations, past conversations, at WGNRadio.com on the opening bell page. You can follow Associated Bank, too, on Twitter at Associated Biz.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Glad you're here for our Thursday edition. Illinois State Comptroller yesterday warned that even on autopilot, the state government will fall nearly $200 million short in August without a state budget. The backlog of bills is in the billions. Lawmakers are trying to beat a Saturday deadline when the new fiscal year starts. That's when all of the bonds in Illinois could be downgraded to junk status. What's happening in Springfield? Let's bring in State Representative Carol Senti, who represents the 59th District of Illinois. She's a Democrat. That's the North Suburbs. Representative Senti, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
We're glad you're here. We wanted to have a little bit more clarification on what's happening in Springfield. Yesterday was a productive day or no?
I feel like yesterday was a productive day. Sometimes what you see is not show you what the whole picture is going. We were on day 9 of special session. We did yesterday vote on the reform elements that the governor has been asking for. There were 4 reform bills. They 3 of them passed. 1 did not, but they didn't. They either had no Republican support or minimal. So to the outside, again, and initially to me, that didn't look very positive. But you have to take this into totality. The Democrats thought these are items that the governor wants. We need to get to the reforms and vote to them. We felt that we had, in fact, negotiated and we were ready to call them. What I learned yesterday is that the Republicans thought, even though we are close to June 30th, that the negotiations were going well. We should have taken them a little further. Perhaps both sides should have been more clear. I've negotiated far enough. You know, I'm done. Take this one as a win. Maybe, you know, on the other reform, you're going to get a little further and some of this give and take. So it, on the surface, it seemed very disappointing. But here's some of the good things that are happening. Behind the scenes, the 4 leaders are meeting more frequently than they have. So that is increasing. Sometimes when something you try doesn't work, people come back together. They talk and they say, why? And that's what I did. Why did that happen? Why did you vote that way? Why did you think we should have done something else? So I still think we have 2 days left before the end of the month. We have discussed these concepts for weeks, for months. It can still all come together. And this idea of we have to trust each other, stopping the gamesmanship and just really focusing on what we're doing. We have an assigned negotiator in each reform element working with the Republicans. I think everyone in the chamber trusts the people who are negotiating that they're trying in good faith to get to the solution. And then at some point, the leaders have to take over and do a structured roll call.
One of your Republican colleagues yesterday said that the part that failed yesterday, which was the property tax freeze, that the Democrats are going to need the Republicans for that. There's going to be have to be 60 or 70 of them involved. So it seems like there's an idea that there has to be compromise, but it's just actually coming to that deal. Is it? Do you think that the pressure is on now from all sides in this? And I guess what's the hope? Why are you hopeful that we'll get something done before tomorrow or Saturday?
Because I've been working and with these people all spring, and it's 3 years. Pressure obviously builds every year. No one should think that a legislator is going home or taking this lightly. I mean, people are sick over this. They are just beyond themselves. The legislator, I see the pain in all of our eyes. I see the hope and the desire. I know these people. I trust them. I do think at their heart, everyone wants to have a budget. And so I think that will come together. And every time, again, like I say, we talk and we realize the situation, we don't have a budget. It's unthinkable. It's unthinkable now. A stopgap won't work this year. There's no money behind it. We have to have a fully balanced budget that has cuts, that is the reform that makes the math, or the reform that the governor wants, and the math has to work. And I think everyone knows that, and they know that if we don't, on autopilot, our budget will spend about $40 billion next year, and we're bringing in $32 billion. We've seen the devastation. I think we're just at that. We're at the apex, or probably at the bottom, and we're just looking at that saying, you can't let this go on another day, not another year. This is going to be the year.
Yeah, and the other part of this, too, is you're coming up almost on a point of no return part. Where, if our junk bonds go to junk status, we're also losing revenue now from the Powerball and Mega Millions and other places as well. So it seems like we're going in the backwards direction on that. Are you afraid of the permanent reputation Illinois is going to have in the financial community and just in the general eyes of the nation?
I absolutely feel that way, Steve. We've been at the bottom in terms of not being able to have a balanced budget and being a laughingstock in the country. I don't want to be there. My peers don't want to be there. But the junk bond status, the schools not opening, schools being, and all types of providers, human service, et cetera, not getting their money. They need to get their money. I think what people need to realize is a win-win negotiation is that both sides get some of what they want, but they don't get all of what they want. So while Republicans might get 80% on one reform, they might only get 20% on another reform. The budget might be under the governor's spending cap, but it might be, but it's balanced, but it would include some Democratic priorities. Again, this give and take, and I think my peers are ready for that. But to have the four leaders engaged and talking about this now, we haven't seen all four of them come together for most of this session, for most of this spring session. That is certainly a good sign. And so we need to let that happen and have that continue, but on high speed, on priority. And because we've already discussed all these items, I think it can come together in the next 2 days. I really do.
How do you feel about extending the special session? The governor suggested yesterday that might happen on a day-to-day basis. Is that something that might work?
I think it might. While absolutely, I wanted May 31st to be the drop dead date. But the bottom line is June 30th is the end of our fiscal year. The bond houses are watching us carefully and every single day. And so if it takes us Sunday and we need to stay and we need to get it done by Monday morning, they're going to, I'm certain, make yet another prediction. We're at the point of no return. We can't come back from this. We have to make this work. We need to have a balanced budget. And what it takes to do that, each party needs to give a little.
Representative, thanks for being with us on the opening bell this morning, and good luck down in Springfield.
Thank you so much, Steve. Have a great day.
State Representative Carol Senti is from the 59th District of Illinois, the Illinois House of Representatives. That's the northern suburbs. The special session continues today in Springfield, and we'll keep you posted right here on 720 WGN.
On 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It's 5:52 on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Dow futures are higher by about 8 points. NASDAQ futures are lower by about 20. S&P futures are up just about a point as well. Silver and gold are mixed this morning. Now the latest on agriculture and commodities. And good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Well, the market in the grain trade yesterday, again focusing on the spring wheat crop in the Dakotas. Talking to a farm broadcaster in Grand Forks, he said, not only is the spring wheat crop suffering, but ranchers and cattlemen in North Dakota are dispersing herds of cattle because they don't have forage or feed for those cattle. But back to the spring wheat trade. The July spring wheat finished up 23 and a quarter cents at 704 and three quarters, the highest price we've seen in spring wheat since July of 2014. Soybeans firmed while corn eased after beneficial showers moved across top producer Iowa overnight, and more rain in the forecast for the Midwest again for the next couple of days. Turning to the livestock trade, live cattle did close higher yesterday. Some bargain hunting coming into the market, short covering that offset early session selling following the heavy losses on Tuesday. But June, which will expire tomorrow, closed 65 cents higher, and most actively traded August ended 60 cents higher at $115.62. And the hog market, lean hog futures, closed higher yesterday as well. And that defamation lawsuit brought by the Beef Processors Incorporated came to a sudden end yesterday, at least ahead of the appeals, because they settled out of court with ABC in that pink slime defamation case. Details were not revealed. You have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You have a great day as well. And some other news we're watching for you here on the opening bell. Amazon is extending its annual Prime Day promotion to 30 hours this year. Amazon will offer discounts and other deals in an effort to boost sales during slow summer months. The deals are only open to members of Amazon's $99 a year Prime loyalty program. So Amazon typically gets more signups too. Amazon has claimed success. There have been grumblings that Prime Day deals are unimpressive or involve older models. Last year, benchmark analyst Daniel Kernos called Prime Day an example of how to make a clearance sale look good. Also, the private equity firm Sycamore is buying office supply chain Staples for $6.9 billion. The company said yesterday shareholders would get about $10.25 per share. Staples stock closed Wednesday up about 77 cents, up about 8.5% to $9.93 after the late afternoon report of the deal. Now, in the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Thursday, June 29th, a couple of reports today. The Commerce Department will issue the final estimate of how the U.S. economy performed in the January to March quarter. The Labor Department will release weekly jobless claims. Freddie Mac will have weekly mortgage rates. And Blue Apron shares will begin trading on the New York Stock Exchange. The meal kit delivery company expected to announce final pricing of its IPO yesterday. That price about $10 to $11, down from $17 per share. APRN will be the trading symbol on the New York Stock Exchange. And the Senate Intelligence Committee holds a closed meeting today on Russia. Those are some of the things that could move the markets on this Thursday, June 29th.